You have your Bible, will you take it with me, please? As we continue our study in the book of Ephesians, the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1. As we begin this morning, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for these songs of worship that we have already sung, these hymns and spiritual songs. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we think about your word just now, may it be the focus. We pray, Heavenly Father, that our hearts would be open to learning, to your guidance and direction, and that we might humbly receive from your Spirit what you have for us individually today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The remarks that I have to give you this morning are not terribly complicated, but I feel like it's necessary for us as we begin the study of Ephesians to understand it in its historical context, but not only that, but in its literary context, because it does have particular features about it that are important to our understanding it and our understanding it in a way that the Spirit of God gave it to us. And so as we open up the book this morning, let's begin by reading verses 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Now, as you study this passage, I think it is good to remember that what we are dealing with here in almost the entirety of the book is, in fact, a doxology. There is in the content of the letter of Paul to the Ephesians an express declaration of praise to God. He begins the meat of his message by those words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In the Old Testament, we think of that as the container of Psalms, because there is a book named Psalms, obviously, and there, by the way, are other Psalms. There are Psalms in Deuteronomy. There are Psalms in Numbers. There are Psalms, as a matter of fact, all over the Old Testament. And this, too, is a Psalm. It is a New Testament Psalm, for there are contained in this book of Ephesians many, many praises to the Lord, and they are written for us so that we can focus on certain things. And so as we think about a doxology normally does three things. A doxology is a focus upon the person of God. And so as the apostle begins this particular psalm, which is what we're reading here in the first part of Ephesians, he begins this psalm with a focus on the person of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It also focuses on the work of God. And so as you watch through from chapter 1, verse 3, and as a matter of fact, it doesn't stop. It just continues to roll on and on. There continues to be a focus by the apostle upon the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit. The third thing that a doxology does is that it helps us to understand the worth of God. For when we worship God, what we are saying is that God is worthy. And the Old English word, of course, for worship is, in fact, worth-ship. And so we look at God and we say that God is worthy of our honor, of our praise, and of our words. So Paul begins his doxology, if you will, in Ephesians with the words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to remember that what he is saying here is tantamount to, I praise the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is praise be to God. As a matter of fact, it's difficult to find a place in the Ephesian letter that doesn't fit into the doxology pattern, that is, the person and work and worth of God. And it goes and continues over and over again. The epistle is, in fact, a praise to God. There is also another idea in this doxology, in these ideas that we are trying to get across this morning, in that word bless. He starts out, blessed. You can't escape your notice that the text is showing praise to God and the blessing of God to the people who are his children. And when we look closer, we learn that at the same time that we bless God, that is, that we extol him, we extol his actions, we extol his person, we extol his work and his worth, at the same time, he is blessing us. And so when we say, blessed be God, he is saying, blessings on you. And it is inherent in this text that as the apostle tells us that we are to bless God, we are also told that God is blessing us. And so you look at that first section, that first phrase, if you will, of Ephesians chapter 1:3, he is saying, blessed is the God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And then he goes on to elucidate for us what those blessings are. Now, there's something else that we need to understand. If you go back to Numbers chapter 6, strange place to go from Ephesians, I know, but give it a try. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Way back there in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 6. And herein we find some words that we say to one another, and possibly we didn't know why we say them, but here it is given to us in Scripture. In Numbers chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. Numbers chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them. Have you ever wondered why a person who is a brother or sister in Christ says to you, the Lord bless you? Why do we say, the Lord bless you? It is an invocation, if you will, of God to come and bring blessing to your life and to your experience. And so when one says that, we should not use that lightly, by the way. It's not like something you say in passing or as a fill-in when you don't know what else to say. It is, in fact, an invocation. We are invoking the presence of God in that person's life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And the Lord says, so you shall invoke my name on one another. Invoke my name on one another, and then I will bless. That's quite a promise, if you think about it. In Psalm 103, if you'll look over there with me, that's right about dead center in your Bible. Psalm 103, it's in the Old Testament. There's a whole book of Psalms there by different writers. Psalm 103. And look at verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. And here the blessing is not given to one another. Here we don't say blessings upon each other. Here we don't say the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his countenance to be with you and his face shine on you and give you peace. No, there's something else here. We're turning our faces toward God now. We can bless one another. We can bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, And then he goes on to tell us the benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? And this psalm, by the way, goes on and on about God's blessing and being thankful for what God has brought to us as individuals, as believers in Christ. Now, I want you to go to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. That's the third book in the New Testament. Luke chapter 1 to the longest chapter, I think, in the entire New Testament. Luke chapter 1. And I want you to begin at verse 68. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 68. Here, Zacharias is being thankful for the coming of the Messiah. And here we find Zacharias in verse 67, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesies, and this is what he says. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Now you see that same pattern that he's using that the Apostle Paul is using in Ephesians chapter 1. A little different words, but it's the same idea. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us. In the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Now there is a similarity here, is there not? And as you familiarize yourself with the Psalms, it becomes very apparent that there is a form almost of these doxologies. Blessed be God. And then from there, it's blessed be God and thank him for all of these blessings that he has given to us. Zechariah begins with an extolling of God, and then he explains all of what God has done to save his people. Now I want you to turn to Psalms, back to Psalms, but I want you to go to the last passages of Psalms. And I want you to look at Psalm 145 with me. Psalm 145. Now, we're going to look this morning at those last 145 to 150. And as you begin at 145, you begin to see Psalms that run this same pattern again. In Psalm 145, it begins, I will extol thee, O my God, O King. And it goes on from there. David, would you please read that psalm?
I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his deeds. The Lord
as you look at that psalm and as it unfolds to you, you ought to have in your mind that first chapter of Ephesians. For it is here that the writer of this psalm, David, begins by saying the large things about God. My God, you are my King, and I will bless your name forever. I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised. And then he starts bringing it down and down and down until he gets down to the bottom. And he says, the Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. How wonderful that particular form of hymnody is. And by the way, the Psalms were sung in the church until probably the beginning of the 18th century. And so we have a psalm here, a hymn to God, which brings us to the large perspective of God, down to the personal perspective of God. Phil, would you read Psalm 146?
Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, the mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs and returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he who trusts in the God of Jacob, who hopes in the Lord his God, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. Keeps faith forever, and executes justice for the oppressed. Who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, the Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, the Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. He thwarts the way of the wicked, the Lord will reign forever. Your God will shine for all generations, praise the Lord.
And so here the psalmist brings it down to us and he tells us what the Lord does. And over again, these are meant to bless us. These are meant to take our focus from off of ourselves, from off of the circumstances of our life, and realize that it is God who is in control, who has always been in control. And he says, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. And what is it that the Lord does in verse 8? The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. He thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. And what a blessing that is to our knowledge, to know these things about the Lord, given to us in a doxology. Bless the Lord. In this particular one, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Dennis, would you read Psalm 147?
Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant to sit in the praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers exiles everywhere. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no end. The Lord sustains the humble and casts them to the dead ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the heart. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him. He puts their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord of Jerusalem, praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of his feet, and blesses your people with ease. He grants peace to your borders, and satisfies you with the finest of food. He sends his commands in your earth, his words run swiftly. He breaks the snow like wool, and scatters the flock like ashes. He hurls them like good hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his food and his water flow. That revealed his voice to Jacob and brought him to the peace of Israel. He has done the bringing of the nation. They do not know his law. Praise the Lord.
As you look at Psalm 147, what is it that you see? It begins the same way, does it not? It says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and praise is becoming. And then he begins by extolling the things that the Lord does. What does he do? He gathers, he heals, he counts, he gives. His understanding is infinite. He gives to the beast its food. He doesn't delight in the strength of the horse. He doesn't take pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord favors those who fear Him. And then you start at verse 12, and over again you see listed for us, elucidated one after the other, the things that God is capable of and does for us all the time, things about which we don't think at all. And the psalmist extols God about these things. He has blessed your sons within you. He makes peace in your borders. He satisfies you. He sends forth His command. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow. He scatters the frost. He casts forth the ice. Who can stand before His cold? He sends forth His word. He causes His wind to blow. He declares His words to Jacob, His statutes and His ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt with us as with any nation. And for us, His ordinances, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. All of these things are things that God continues to do. Praise be to His name. These are things we cannot do for ourselves. God does them for us. Psalm 148.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all of His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heaven, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind filling His word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven, and He has lifted up a horn for His people. Praise for all His godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord.
And here we have a pantheon of praise, do we not? And he goes on and on and on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him, highest heavens. We do not read these psalms for no purpose. For it is the same thing that the Apostle Paul is after for us to understand in that first chapter and in the entire epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. We come to Psalm 149. Garth?
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Just praise the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in His nature. Let the people of Zion glad in their king. Let them praise His name again and make music to Him. Trembling in heart, the Lord takes delight in the people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor, and sing for joy on the best. They will confess. They praise God, even now, and don't let forth their hands to inflict vengeance on the nation and punishment on the people. To bind their king, their studies, their nobles, the shackles of violence, carry out the sentence which is against them. This is the glory of all the saints. Praise the Lord.
Once again, the psalm begins. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And then he starts talking about our Maker and the one in whom we should rejoice. Zion rejoices in their King. Sing and praise His name with dancing. That's sort of foreign to us, isn't it? Sing praises to Him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people, and He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Wonderful blessings from the hand of God. First of all, we look to God and we say to God, thank You and praise You. Blessed be God, for He has done all of these things for us. And now we come to Psalm 150. Louis?
Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise him with cymbal and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipes. Praise him without cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise everything that the breath praise, that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And so here again, it begins, praise the Lord. And where are we to praise him? We're to praise him in his sanctuary, in his mighty expanse, for his mighty deeds, for his excellent greatness. And how are we to praise him? With trumpet sound, with harp and lyre and timbrel and dancing and string instruments and pipes and loud cymbals and resounding cymbals. Every opportunity, every skill that man has ought to be lifted up in praise to God, including our voices. So here we sit in the 21st century. And I would say to you that even in the 21st century, we're very familiar with this doxological methodology, if you will. We, that is, most of the modern church, use a verse as an example of a song from the 15th century, and we still use it. All of Christendom uses it even today. It is written from the pen of a man by the name of Thomas Ken in 1674, and he wrote a hymn for the boys of Westminster College, and he entitled the song, "Awake My Soul and With the Sun." And you're saying, what in the world? Do we know anything from the 1600s? And we absolutely do. Of the 11 stanzas of the hymn that this man wrote, we and the rest of Christendom know this last stanza only. And yet we sing it continuously by different syncopations and by different music. And the words go, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." 1674, and we are still familiar with the praise aspect from the pen of Mr. Thomas Ken. And do we still pen music today in that same kind of vernacular? We do. Do we still sing praises to our God? We do. Our worship service this morning was full of praises to God for who he is, first of all, and for his worthiness and for what he does. Things I would submit to you that over which you have no control, over which you have no knowledge, except that we are arrogant enough to think today that we know about everything, including the world we live in, the climate and the air we breathe and all of this other stuff. We are so arrogant in our self-centeredness that we think we got it fixed. And yet God calls from his heaven as though it were from his lips to the ears of Job. "Where were you when I hung the Pleiades in space? Where were you when I set the earth in motion? Hitch your pants up and tell me how to do it." And all of a sudden, we are struck dumb because our God is a God worthy of praise and knows things we do not know. We sing the words to another hymn, "Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul is filled, and every faithless murmur stilled. To God all praise and glory. What God's almighty power hath made, his gracious mercy keepeth. By morning glow or evening shade, his watchful eye ne'er sleepeth. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right. To God all praise and glory. The Lord is never far away, but through all grief distressing, an ever-present help and stay, our peace and joy and blessing, as with a mother's tender hand, God gently leads the chosen band. To God all praise and glory. Thus all my toilsome way along, I sing aloud thy praises, that earth may hear the grateful song my voice unwearied raises. Be joyful in the Lord, my heart, both soul and body, bear your part. To God all praise and glory. Let all who name Christ's holy name give God all praise and glory. Let all who own his power proclaim aloud the wondrous story. Cast each false idol from its throne, for Christ is Lord, and Christ alone, to all and all to God be praise and glory. And so it is here in our Ephesian letter that Paul begins his doxology with a praise to God, and then a long list of God's blessings to his people. And it is important for us, as we approach this psalm in the book of Ephesians, with the same kind of sincerity and the same kind of humility, if you will, that we approach the psalms from the Old Testament. All of those things that God has done, all of those things that God is involved in life and limb and happiness and the earth around us and in creation and in salvation, all of those things we know nothing about. We know nothing about. We have no power over. We have no choice in. And we need to approach this psalm with the same humility that we approach those psalms of old. And so one writes a hymn. And from verses 3 and 4, he writes this: Praise ye the Father for his loving kindness. Tenderly he cares for his erring children. Praise him, ye angels. Praise him in the heavens. Praise ye Jehovah. And if you look at verses 3 and 4 in our text, that is exactly what our text is trying to put across. In verses 5 through 12, the songwriter says again, Praise ye the Savior. Great is his compassion. Graciously he cares for his chosen children, young men and maidens, older folks and children. Praise ye the Savior. And in the last, verses 13 to 14, praise ye the Spirit, comforter of Israel, sent of the Father and the Son to bless us. Praise ye the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise ye the triune God. Now open up the text of Ephesians and go to those verses beginning at 3 and running down all the way through 14. And you will see here a doxology, if you will, a psalm written in praise to God. And so oftentimes we take passages of Scripture like this that are so theologically specific, and we begin to question God about His work and worth in our lives. We begin to say, well, this can't be true because of this, that, and the other thing. And it is the same thing if you go back to the Psalms and say, well, I could have hung the Pleiades in space. I could have done all of these things for Israel. It is so arrogant on our parts to approach Scripture in such a way, in such a light and trite manner. The Apostle Paul writes these words for our blessing, for us to realize that the God that we worship is worthy of our worship, who has thought of things that are so far beyond our ability to think and so far beyond our spirits that we can only stand in awe and say, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, which works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given us as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. There it is, folks. There's a New Testament psalm, if I ever read one. And it extols our God by beginning, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." And then he goes on to elucidate all of the things that God does and continues to do in your life and mine. And it is so necessary for us to understand this book in this manner, so that we can stand in awe, not in question, not in doubt, but in awe of this blessed God who blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ. Our challenge for this week may be to be this, to look back in your old hymnal that you have hidden out in your bookshelf someplace, and look up those psalms of praise to God, those songs written by men of old who understood very carefully theology and understood what the Scriptures were teaching and set those words to music. Look back at the psalms, not just 145 to 150. They are great praise psalms, but the whole psalm, the book of Psalms, is so full of praise to God and extolling His magnificence. And then, having looked at those hymns and looked at those songs and revisited the Psalms and revisited perhaps the first chapter of Ephesians, sit down and write your own psalm. Write your own doxology and praise God for the goodness that He has given and the goodness that He has been toward you and toward your life and toward your family. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for this word. Bless our hearts with it today. Watch over us. And help us, Heavenly Father, as we approach this book, to do so with humility, realizing that this psalm is just as valid and just as true as the psalms that were written by David and the other psalm writers of old. And help us, Father, to appreciate what You have done for us that we could not do for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.